It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Lacked coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
Only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Another wonderful morning.
Yes. Happy Monday. We love Mondays.
The old family show broadcasting live from State Street, block away from the Capitol Dome.
Yep. We've got sunshine right now, and it's 68 degrees. Highs today about 80. And maybe a scattered shower this morning, a little bit later on, maybe a thunderstorm, but otherwise should be okay.
We should have a name for that, pop-up showers or something like that.
Yeah, pop-up showers. I think that's a good one. We can make that catch on. The John and Gordy Show is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. You can find them on Madison's east and west sides or online at verlo.com. That's verlo.com. Hey, what do you think? Let's give away some tickets.
Hey,
what do you think about
that?
You know, this Pod Save America, they have a very popular podcast, you know, and they've been doing it for quite a while. I think a couple of these guys are former Obama aides.
They are.
Jon Favreau, you've seen his stuff online, right?
He's been on Twitter for a long, long time.
Yeah.
A lot of quips, a lot of very nice insights into politics.
Yeah, so Jon Favreau, John Lovett, Dan Pfeiffer, and Tommy Vietor are coming to the Orpheum Theater. And that's a week from Friday, July 19th. And we've got some tickets to give away right now. Mm-hmm. You can text us to win those tickets. You need to text the word eggplant or send us an emoji, 608-879-8255. Is that the way we're doing this?
Which one are we
taking? I think we're taking the fourth texter. Is that right?
Texter.
Are you, Sam, you're going to keep track of this, right?
Fourth person to send either the word eggplant or an eggplant emoji gets the tickets.
Okay. 608-879-8255, and you'll win a pair of tickets to the Orpheum Theater July 19th to see the Pod Save America show. And that's a great show. You can also get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Okay.
All right.
Bingo.
Yeah. Well,
Bafo.
We're going to get into Project 2025. You know, the family show has been covering this for the last, I think about 4 months.
Yeah.
4 or 5 months.
Right.
We were on it first before anybody even noticed this thing.
Yeah.
Because it was so scary and so bizarre that they actually put this out on the internet so we could read it. Just like, okay.
Well, and then
this is the mega party that doesn't have an agenda, right? So,
sure.
They have this 1,000-page thing.
Right.
That would scare the heck out of anybody if they, you know, sat down and read this thing.
Well, they put it out, and then now suddenly, just over the last few days, Donald Trump doesn't know anything about this. But I thought he was all over this before.
Oh, he was.
You know, and suddenly, I don't know who wrote it. I don't know. I haven't read it. You know, he's sort of backing away from that, isn't he?
Well, he's all over the place on this because we've got the tracks to prove it.
Okay, well, let's hear some of it.
All right. Well, here's Trump saying he needs the Heritage Foundation. The organization behind Project 2025, in order to achieve his extreme MAGA agenda. Let's listen to the words right from Trump.
Okay. Your organization is named the Heritage Foundation because you understand that our glorious heritage is the foundation of everything we hope to achieve.
Oh my God.
Which is why we need the help of the Heritage Foundation.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Okay.
So he's bragging about the Heritage Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
He backs them. He loves them. They're going to help get a helping hand from the Heritage Foundation. Okay.
Right.
And get this. Trump's own PAC, fundraising PAC, runs ads touting Trump's Project 2025. That's right. Trump's Project 2025.
That's what they're calling it.
And created the website for it.
Okay.
So, it's not like it's the first time he's ever heard about this, but Trump doesn't know anything about Project 2025. He even said this on Truth Social. This is it. I know nothing about Project 2025. I have no idea who's behind it.
Come on, wait a minute.
He says, and saying that he doesn't know anything about it. Then he says, I disagree with some of the things they're saying, well, but you didn't know anything about it. How do you disagree with any of the things that, well, right. Anyway. Yeah. He says it's ridiculous and abysmal. Anything they do, I wish them luck, but I have nothing to do with them, right?
Okay.
So Trump's top aide, Russ Vought, it sounds like Vought, but it's really Vought, is one of the authors of Project 2025.
Huh.
Trump's top aide and the party's platform writer. Here's Vought going after the administrative state. This is track 26. Let's listen.
Okay. I'd like to now invite acting director of OMB, Russ Vought, to say a few words about the exciting news. And I want to thank Russ for doing an incredible job. And when Russ is finished, we're going to sign the executive orders. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President. As a result of your leadership, today we're making a major step forward in the effort to drain the swamp and to get our arms wrapped around the administrative state.
And the Supreme Court went after the administrative state.
Yeah.
And defanged them already. So that project is on its way, and they're executing it well. Let's hit cut 30. And this is the Nation of God. Let's check it out.
Being a nation that's for God, that's a consensus that we want to renew in this country, that we have religious liberty, but it cannot come from this notion that a country isn't understanding the reality that it has to obey God, and there is only one true God, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So that is a big part of what we do, is reestablishing that notion in our public policy, and to be able to argue on the basis of public policy those certain truths, and that truth just comes from revelation.
And God.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. But now, I don't know if God approves this particular part of what they plan. If you get in the way of Project 2025, Heritage Foundation leader Kevin Roberts says they will kill you. Let's check out 25. Project 2025.
Okay.
Listen, Kevin Roberts.
All right.
One of the authors of it.
In spite of all this nonsense from the left, we are going to win. We're in the process of taking this country back. Number two, to the point of the clips and of course, your preview, that Supreme Court ruling yesterday on immunity is vital. You know, former congressman, the importance of Congress doing its job, but we also know the importance of the executive being able to do his job. And can you imagine, Dave Bratt, any president, put politics off to the side, any president having to second guess, triple guess every decision they're making in their official capacity? You couldn't have the republic that you just described.
But number three, we already have it.
Let me speak about the radical left. You and I have both been parts of faculties and faculty senates and understand that the left has taken over our institutions. The reason that they are apoplectic right now, the reason that so many anchors on MSNBC, for example, are losing their minds daily is because our side is winning. And so I come full circle in this response and just want to encourage you with some substance that we are in the process of the second American Revolution, which will remain bloodless if the left allows it to be.
If we let them just have their way.
Yeah.
Or they will kill us. And, you know, they say that the left has taken over.
Yeah.
That's another way of saying that we've won elections. Right?
Huh? What?
I mean, we're in charge. We won our elections. We're there in charge. Yeah. We've got the presidency because we won the election.
Right.
We haven't taken over. It wasn't a war that we had.
No, it wasn't.
We are the victors.
No. Wasn't an insurrection or anything like that.
So let's get back to Trump knowing anything about Project 2025.
Okay.
Let's hear cut 29. This is Kevin Roberts again.
We've been working with all of them on one project since soon after Joe Biden took the oath of office, before any conservative presidential candidates had even entered the race. As my friend and colleague Paul Danz before talked about briefly, our Project 2025 has developed a comprehensive policy agenda, but even more importantly, recruiting people, 20,000 people to go into the next administration, hopefully to help take back this country for you and for your audiences. We want no credit. We want the American people. If President Trump is
is elected again, President Trump and his administration, to take credit for that. But it will also be a great sign if all of this is successful, that in fact, as we know in our prayer time, but maybe not every time when we're watching the news, that the Lord is still smiling upon America.
That's right.
Wow.
So 20,000 additional MAGAs being added to the administration, which means 20,000 people will lose their jobs. I'm sure that's not going to affect the economy in any way, shape, or form. And these are all innocent individuals, Americans working for their government.
Civil
public
service.
Public service.
Yeah. Civil service folks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it.
That's
so get rid of them.
Yeah.
And put their yes men in.
Exactly. That's the plan. That's all Project 2025.
That's what it's all about.
And Trump doesn't know anything about it. But he's all in favor. No, he's not. No, wait, he is. No, he's not.
That's right. And here's a comment I thought was just really interesting. If Joe Biden or another Democrat wins the 2024 presidential election.
Yeah. Then
John Roberts.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Supreme Court Justice Chief.
John Roberts. Yeah, the chief.
Has set up the court to serve as a supercharged judiciary. Pushing back, the conservative court is positioning itself to strike down any regulation for virtually any reason. The conservative court can easily conclude progressive agency actions do not represent a single best meaning of the law, while conservative-led agencies reach the single best meaning of the law, as Roberts puts it. There you go.
So they've got him waiting in the wings?
They've got the Supreme Court. Well, they've set themselves up. They've defanged the administrative state, and that is the president, his promise to the people what he would do if he became president.
Right.
The administrative state executes those orders, and now they have taken that out of the mix. Now the Supreme Court is in charge of the administration.
Wow. We live in scary times.
It's a very scary time.
It is. All right. I got to take a breath. I can't.
Really?
I feel like a gut punch.
Is it that scary?
It is.
All right.
Okay. Hey, we want to congratulate Robert in Madison. He was our winner. He was the fourth person to text us an eggplant or the emoji or whatever. Anyway, he's going to go see Pod Save America at the Orpheum Theater July 19th. We'll have another chance to win some tickets tomorrow during our 7 o'clock hour here on the John and Gordy Show. You can also go to Ticketmaster.com to get tickets. And coming up, we'll check in with Brittany Merlot. Let us know what's happening with the weather here for this
week. And we've got
a
story about Eric Hovde.
Oh, boy. It's all coming up on the John and Gordy Show for a Monday on WMDX.
Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM, and all of your social media dial. Check us out on the Civic Media app. You can text us or call us there. Let us know what you're thinking. Make a comment about anything we say on this program, because we are saying a lot.
Okay.
Right.
That's right.
There we go.
Yep.
You got an announcement here, man.
Well, once again, we want to thank Robert. Yes. Robert was our winner of the Pod Save America tickets. That's at the Orpheum Theater July 19th. He gets a pair of tickets to go to that show. And we'll have another chance to win tomorrow. He sent us a message.
An interesting message and a text. He says, "This is the first time I ever benefited from sending that emoji. Thank you guys very much."
Good for him. All right.
There you go.
Yeah, and we'll have more chances to win the rest of this week during our 7 o'clock hour for Pod Save America. And we are joined now by Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning, guys. How was your weekend?
Well, I was just going to ask you that. Yeah, I had a birthday yesterday, so I had a fun weekend. I saw my sister, my niece, and my daughter, and my ex-wife. Yeah, it was quite a gathering.
Mm-hmm.
We had a good time.
That's fantastic. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you so much.
I love it.
I think it was probably one of the worst 4th of July weekends anybody can imagine, right?
What are you talking about?
So much rain.
Oh, yeah.
So on and off.
Yeah,
we did. I went up to the woods, way up in the North Woods, with all the mosquitoes. And, I dodged a lot of the storms, except for, of course, I'm out on the lake trying to fish in the kayak. Yeah. And here it goes, rolls right in.
Wow.
Comes with full force. Yeah, yeah. So I think everybody has their downpour story from this weekend, don't we?
Where you were out in the kayak at the time it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The storms were coming in. Wow.
I was. I'll tell you, that temperature dropped rapidly.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I was freezing. And then the mosquitoes went mad. Let me tell you, I've got about 50 bites just on my back right now. I could actually show you. I don't know if you can see this, but
oh yeah.
Oh my bruising, gosh. Oh.
Bruising from these guys. Man. They're vicious.
Ooh, wow. So did you catch any fish?
I did. A couple bluegill, largemouth bass. No, actually, I do have a fear of fish. Yeah. Oh, that's weird.
See? You have a fear of fish. See? Okay.
I do too. Gross. That's why you don't go in water. Fucking. That's normally why you don't go in water.
Okay.
By the way, the water levels, was it a little bit difficult to maneuver in your kayak?
Yeah. So speaking of the water levels, there's a lot of places where there's a lot of sandbars people would go to. Mm. Not this year. They're about 15 feet below that. Mm. So we're looking at really, really high lake levels into the Northwoods. Mm. And then did you hear about the Manawa Dam failure? Well, it wasn't really the dam, but everything around it kind of eroded.
Started eroding,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yep, streams.
Mm-hmm. They got about, 5 to 6 inches of rain on Saturday that did that.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are we in for this week around here, weather-wise?
Well, we're back to the 80s, low 80s today, tomorrow. But we do have chances for showers and storms on and off. None are expected to be severe, but heavy rainfall. We do have that moisture here. We could see about an inch to an inch and a half if we get underneath some of those. And they want to sit still because this front is barely moving. It is just slowly pushing across the state. So, yeah, rain chances still today and tomorrow. After that, we do look to dry out, even though Hurricane Beryl just made landfall in Texas this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually tracking in towards the Ohio Valley.
It is.
It stays that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, it'll stay south of us, right? That's the latest thinking.
It should. Yeah. But if it takes any little wobble to the north, that means Madison's in that line for some about 2 to 5 inches. They're thinking is going to be tracking through the Midwest.
So Hurricane Beryl, it's moving into Texas right now as we speak around Houston, right?
Yes, it is. I think it made landfall about 5 a.m., so it's a little bit inland now. Winds were about 80 miles per hour last I checked, and they're looking at about, I think it was like a 4 to 7 foot storm surge.
Yeah.
That seems pretty extreme for a Category 1.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks for that good news, Brittany.
Sunshine midweek. You want some 90s? We'll get that over the weekend.
No.
Oh, boy.
Got a heat wave coming. I would assume, too.
What about that heat wave out west? Yeah, with all the heat and the firestorms in California, like 20 fire areas in California.
Death Valley, somebody died out there because it would have record high temperature. There was a cycle group that went out there exposed to the elements.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't hear
it. It was
about
the hottest
that.
Day they had.
No kidding. Yeah.
Terrifying.
I'm not sure if it's Death Valley, something like that.
Well, I saw there was something like over one or two days, there were like 500 record high temperatures out west, like up and down the West Coast.
Get off this high horse about climate change. What are you talking? There's no such thing as climate change.
Suddenly, that's not in the discussion. Yeah. Yeah.
But then it makes you think, too. I have some friends out in California, and they're like, how's your fourth? How was it? I'm sitting here saying, okay, I'm in the downpour. It's kind of getting rained out. And my girlfriend, she's like, well, we can't even have fireworks because it's so hot, the drought, there's the entire state. We can't do anything.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. All right, Brittany. Well.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
Hang in there. We'll talk to you tomorrow, right? And then you're taking a few days off? Is that
no,
right?
No, I'll be here. You're all stuck with me.
Excellent. All right.
Okay. I misunderstood. Okay, good. Excellent. Thank you, Brittany.
We like that. Thank you. All right.
Good to talk to you.
Take care.
Talk to you tomorrow.
You too.
It's Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist.
Wasn't that something?
Yeah.
I mean, so much bad weather, so much rain.
All over the place.
On and off.
Hurricanes.
Constantly.
Firestorms.
Dams breaking.
Flooding.
Mosquitoes. It's amazing. Mosquitoes. She went up north.
Yeah.
Right? Sam went up north.
That's
right.
You saw a lot of mosquitoes.
Did you
up there,
see
right?
rain up there when you were up there as well? Cleaning up the cabin?
Just a little bit. We had a short downpour on Sunday right before I left.
Mm.
All right, let's get to something very unusual, very strange.
Okay.
Eric Hovde, the stand-up comedian running for a Senate seat against Tammy Baldwin. Okay. Unusual as it is, Eric was banned from walking in the conservative wasteland of Waukesha's July 4th parade.
Now, wait a minute.
But the Democrats, no, they were in it.
They were in it?
Yes.
Well, how did that happen?
They were allowed to be in it. Wisconsin Right Now, which is a crazy right-wing website. I don't know. These guys are crazy. They love whining a lot. They're simpering losers, by the way. Mm. They're struggling to look smart, and that's why they have a little website. They said that Hovde was banned from walking in the parade.
That's what he
was banned.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Yeah, but Wisconsin Strong tweeted on X that he wasn't banned. He missed the deadline to submit his application to be in the parade.
Oh, huh.
And they said maybe if he lived in Wisconsin, he could have got the application on time. And so he really wasn't banned. He just didn't make the deadline to apply to be in the damn parade. So what did he do?
What?
He went along the sidewalk as the parade went down the street, and he was shaking hands with everybody. You know,
so he was there.
Stunningly good-looking man, you know. Porn stash and all.
Oh, boy. So he got around. He figured out a way.
He got around, yeah.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. But he was very angry, you know.
No kidding.
I can't believe it. I mean, you know, it is the Republican county of Wisconsin.
Those pesky applications. You gotta, you know, it's all about the paperwork.
Again, you know, it's rules and regulations. It's just over.
Yeah, it's overdone.
We've got too many.
He thought he could just show up, huh?
Yeah.
And so he did.
Yeah.
He just walked down the sidewalk.
Right.
Okay.
I understand he was tossing dollar bills out to the ground.
Is that it?
Mr. Moneybags, just throwing them out there.
Okay.
Boy.
All right.
What would we not do without Eric Hovde making the news constantly?
We'll be back with more of the John and Gordy Show for a Monday, coming up on WMDX.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Shoplift Emporium, the world's first store intended to fill the needs of today's busy kleptomaniacs. Our cluttered aisles, unstaffed dressing rooms, mirrorless walls, and untrained, uncaring security guards make it almost impossible for us to catch you. So why pay retail? Why pay wholesale? Come on down to Ed's Shoplift Emporium, where everything on sale is a real steal.
Sounds like a bargain.
It does, doesn't it?
It really does.
It's a good deal.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM at 1580 AM. Check us out on the Civic Media app as well. Easy to get us there, and you can get us anywhere in the entire globe.
That's right. Anywhere you go. You can even if you're in space, you know, flying out there on the International Space Station.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
They have apps up there, right?
Yeah.
They have computers.
I would assume apps are everywhere.
Yeah. If you're listening to us from the International Space Station, you know, text us. Let us know.
Well, now that we have an app that makes hard books easier to read.
Thank goodness. God. It's about time.
It can't even be like the example was The Great Gatsby.
Right.
They teach that in high school. It's not that hard of a book to read.
It really isn't.
No,
that's the problem. The example was just silly.
Yeah, continuing to dumb down everybody. Okay. Weather today, 68 degrees now, highs about 80. It's going to be in the 80s all this week. So a little return to summertime. Maybe a pop-up shower here in a little while. Yeah.
I'll tell you
maybe
what.
Maybe a thunderstorm. Yeah, what?
I'm going to ask you to pull up one of our Johnny at the Movies themes.
Really?
Why don't you go with the...
What movie are you going to...
Not Rocket J. Squirrel, but the other one. All right?
Are we going to the movies now, John?
We are. We're going to...
Really?
We're going to talk the movie that you recommended to me, the guy who doesn't go to movies.
Well, this is a classic.
All right.
I wish we had known we were doing this because I want to get more information about
it. Let's go to the movies.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
The passion.
Yeah,
all right.
The pathos.
Oh, yeah.
The honesty. Yeah?
Yes.
Never before have the torments of movie critics been so vividly portrayed.
One ticket or two, sir?
Just 80.
Two
80 tickets.
80.
We'll let everybody in on this one.
We're going to talk about The Winnebago Man. That's right.
The Winnebago Man.
This is a
classic. Movie you saw. It was a fantastic little documentary.
Yes. Yes.
It's about 2 hours long. But
it's great.
I thought, you know, documentaries are pretty dry and they're kind of predictable. And sometimes they're a little self-praising. Right?
This is like, this is unlike any documentary.
It really is.
That I've ever seen. It's really something. Yes. What, Sam? Did you want to say something?
I asked him to take the music.
Oh, okay.
We're chatting now.
Okay. This is about a guy named Jack Rebney. They called him the Winnebago Man.
Yep.
And he made this industrial film back in 1988. So think, you know, industrial film about RVs, about Winnebagos, you know, the recreational vehicles. Now, Jack Rebney was a really smart guy.
He was a very smart guy. He was a news director, a production director.
Yeah,
he was
Chicago.
An on-air talent.
Yeah. But they
newsman.
Yeah. And he retired from all that, but he still, you know, wanted to kind of stay in the business, so that he got this job as making this documentary.
He was a spokesperson. Yeah.
Making a documentary about Winnebagos. I don't really want to tip my hand about anything else in this documentary, but it's hilarious. It's really funny. And then it kind of takes a turn because he ended up kind of being a hermit after he made this documentary. And he made the documentary. They sent it off to Winnebago and they used it, apparently.
No, they hated it.
No, that's right. They hated him.
They fired him.
They fired him. That's right.
Because the people that produced this this promotion for Winnebago motorhomes.
Yeah.
They took all the outtakes and they put them all together, and all the outtakes,
the crew
put these outtakes together, thought it was funny to put these outtakes together where he was swearing constantly, you know,
and
mangling lines, not remembering his lines, and he would swear all the time.
And he was quite good at swearing.
He was very good at it.
Yeah, he really. So you got to think, this is made in 1988, this industrial film.
Yeah.
So this is pre-internet, really. You know, this is pre-YouTube and all of that. Yes. So people used to, this crew made this videotape of bloopers, and they started making copies of it and sending it to their friends.
Yes.
And those people would make copies of it and sending it to their
friends.
And
it went viral as a video.
Yeah, before viral was kind of a thing. But, So
there are all these bad copies of it. You know,
horrible copies.
You could hardly make out a face. It was so blurry.
Right?
But this Winnebago Man became a celebrity on the I don't know what it was.
It wasn't the. I mean, it was just
in the media.
It was at the media at the time. Yeah, it became very popular out in California and some, you know, out west. People really started catching on to this, and of course, college students would love it, and they would share it with their friends.
I know film students who would then go on to directing, and then the directors would give little hints of Winnebago Man, the doc.
Right.
His blooper tape.
Yeah,
and they would use references to that in their movies,
and so he became kind of a cult hero.
He was a big cult hero.
This filmmaker that made the documentary about all of this, you know, he was collecting these bloopers, and then he wanted to track this guy down. This filmmaker's name is Ben Steinbauer, and he finally tracked him down. And the guy's name, Jack Rebney, he was the spokesperson. He was living way out in the country, and he finally got tracked down. And so the documentary guy was doing some interviews with him.
Yeah. The Winnebago Man,
Jack Rebney,
as he's called in the movie.
Yeah,
he was kind of a recluse.
Kind of.
He lived on a mountaintop.
Yes.
He was taking care of some cabins, which I guess no one really stayed at because it really wasn't a lot of work for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he stayed up there, and he was very happy living up there. And then this guy making this documentary about him introduced
Steinbauer.
Him to the internet. And he saw this on the internet. And the thing is, the initial interview with Winnebago Man, Jack Rebney, he acted very nice, very pleasant.
Very,
it was like he was Mr. Peaceful Man. You know,
he had gained the name the angriest man in the world by the people that had watched this.
From the videotapes.
The videos, the VHS videos. And eventually it did end up on YouTube when YouTube became a thing. But, Yeah, they tracked him down, and you know, he, at first he was very pleasant, but he couldn't understand why. Why would you want to interview me after right. all these
he
years?
He didn't know, and then when he saw his video and he watched it, and then he understood, and he saw the comments and everybody's comments about it.
Yeah.
He realized that he was this icon,
right?
And he was very pleasant about it and very philosophical about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an amazing turn. We thought, oh, man, this guy isn't the angriest man in the world after all.
Yeah.
Very pleasant. Never used a swear word in this first interview by this documentarian. And all of a sudden,
well,
like a couple of months later, Jack Rebney called up this guy making the documentary and said, you know what? That's not really me.
Yeah.
That's I'm not... really angry about the whole thing.
He turned.
I faked you out.
He turned, yes, completely. He wanted to crash the whole project. He didn't want anything to do with it. He didn't want to see the guy anymore. And then the guy had to convince him again that, you know, listen, man, you're a cult hero. And they put and he got the tape and gave it to the they were going to have a showing of this thing, a viewing of the tape. And notify all the fans of this, that this was happening. And they did that in
People
San Francisco.
People are long lines in the theater.
They convinced Jack Rebney to come, and he was...
I don't want to give it away.
I don't want to tip my hand, but it was very interesting.
His personal appearance was something else.
It was really something.
Now, when you were watching that, did you... For some reason, I thought of myself as Jack Rebney.
You are the Winnebago man of Wisconsin.
That's what I'm thinking. Because I'm watching this and I'm thinking, I would say that. That's me right there.
And you have a little bit of hermit in you. You're hermitized sometimes.
A definite curmudgeon. If anything, Jack Rebney is that.
Right. Everyone listening should have heard John when we were in the commercial break. We were, oh boy, Mr. Potty Mouth.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing we turned the microphones off.
Well, I hope, anyway.
Anyway, you can find it on YouTube. Check out Winnebago Man. Big thumbs up. 5 stars.
Yeah.
4 stars. What is it? 5 stars?
It's a 5-star.
You got to see it.
Because documentaries can be a little dry and self-gratifying and all...
You know what?
All this ridiculous praise for the people that usually focus on. But this went back and forth, and it was really fascinating. Jack Rebney is a really fascinating individual.
Oh, yeah. He's really interesting.
Smart.
Super smart. The other thing about it is you go back in time to pre-internet and pre-viral stuff, and how did this actually happen back then that all these people found this tape and like wanted to know more about this guy? And so it really takes you back in time, that was what it was like before the internet took over everything and made things viral.
I don't think it went, super viral, only because a lot of people didn't know what a Winnebago was.
Okay, really?
And then Winnebago Man, what is that all about?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't think you'll be disappointed.
And
I had
tons of VCRs in my home.
I know.
And I never heard of Winnebago Man.
No, it's kind of an underground classic now.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. You definitely have to watch it. I watch it for free. I can't remember. Oh, YouTube TV.
Yeah, you can just see it on YouTube.
Yeah, just watch it on YouTube. Yeah.
I was going to ask, so you guys went off the air in the past in 1994. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Were you guys ever on the internet in any form back in the day?
No.
Like as a pair?
No.
Oh.
No. Because I remember moving over to Indiana in 1994, and I was there for quite a while before the internet became a thing. I mean, we had the internet,
right?
But we didn't have all the stuff that goes with the internet, like YouTube and all that stuff.
I wonder if there before John, you started uploading all of your tapes of John and Gordy's Media World and all that. I wonder if there's an underground fan base back in the late 90s.
There are a lot of outtakes. Yeah. Well, we would have to, Scott Yarborough and Carly. I bet if anybody's got outtakes of us, that's who.
Or Dan, who did our Cable Access 4.
I don't remember Dan.
But, at that time, no one really thought seriously about Cable Access. So it wasn't like you save something from it.
Exactly. Yeah. But anyway.
But the internet really didn't take off. until about maybe, you know, 2002, 2003.
Really? Is that about right?
Something like
late
that.
Late 90s?
I mean, really became popular and people started, you know, hanging out on it and trying it out.
Didn't we just celebrate like 20 years of Facebook, I think? Wasn't that just the thing?
I don't know.
Just naughty yeses.
By the way, I just want to say hello
to
our fan out in Horicon.
Oh, right? Sherry?
Sherry sent us...
She sends us something just about every day.
An emoji saying, morning. It's a turtle.
It's a turtle.
Out there in Horicon Marsh.
Thank you, Sherry, for that. I want to remind everybody that John and Gordy Show is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. You can find them on Madison's east and west sides or online at verlo.com. That's verlo.com.
Okay, we had just talked about Project 2025.
Yeah.
You can get cut number 31 ready.
Okay.
It's hit the fan. A lot of people are talking about it now.
Yeah.
Instead of talking about replacing Biden, which the Democrats are doing,
say,
you know, they're just shooting themselves in the foot with this discussion.
Well, but the Congress is back in Washington, D.C. now, so they'll all be able to get
this
together.
This will end it today, I hope. Just end it
today
and start talking about Project 2025 because everybody else is.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the focus now, and if people heard about this, this could turn the tide of the election completely.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a warning out there. Somebody put a video together, and I thought this was... We don't have time.
I don't have it, John. I've only got up to cut 30.
Really?
No.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that right? Come on.
Yeah.
Look. You're building anticipation for tomorrow, right?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I guess I'm doing at this point. How did I not get...
I don't know.
Boy. You know, Gordy, you were
what?
There.
What? Well, no. I was?
This is your fault.
At the meeting? What meeting are you talking about?
No, you stopped by.
You gave me a call.
And I was in the process of getting my show together.
Well, you called me last evening to wish me a happy birthday. That was nice.
Okay, look.
I don't
I've
remember
got it
discussing.
I'm going to email it.
Oh, okay. We've got
to
it.
To Sam, and then we'll play it.
Okay, we're coming back with that on the John and Gordy Show for this Monday.
WMDX, the John and Gordy Family Show, the post July 4th edition, the last July 4th edition of the Family Show. I mean, this
what
is the last.
What do you mean?
We're not going to be able to celebrate that as an actual.
The 4th of July?
Yeah.
It's just going to be another day?
It'll just be another day.
No more fireworks?
No.
No more sparklers?
No.
Nothing?
Well, no, they'll have it. It'll be a retro thing, though. You know, it'll be something that we'll reflect back on and say, remember when we were a democracy, a representative democracy? And
Those were the days.
I remember that.
Yeah.
You know, the robots will take over at this point. Hopefully.
Well, really?
Hopefully, yeah. I think that's better than
AI?
The MAGAs.
Okay.
Did you get my email? All right, we've got this. Now, this is a warning.
Yes, set this up again for us.
This is a warning that somebody put together in regards to Project 2025.
Okay.
And I think we should definitely heed this warning. Let's check it out right here.
The Republican Party doesn't have a platform and have become the first party in modern history without one. The obvious reason is that without a stated platform, their unpopular ideas cannot be challenged in open debate. But in their hubris, they made a mistake.
Project 2025 is a call for you to come work here, Washington, D.C.
A cluster of right-wing extremist groups got together and put all of their dangerous ideas in a 920-page document called Mandate for Leadership, Project 2025. This is the playbook for what they want to happen to America should Trump or any other Republican president take office after winning the next election. Project 2025 is the doom of our multicultural democracy and the end of the rule of law. It dispenses with constitutional checks and balances and concentrates almost unlimited power in the executive branch. The diabolical plan that is Project 2025 was created by Christian nationalists and funded by the fossil fuel industry. Project 2025 has action plans to take away the rights of minorities, quote-unquote leftists, LGBTQIA plus Americans, and anyone who opposes extremist right-wing ideology. Project 2025 is the Mein Kampf of our age, the fully formed master plan for the takeover of the federal government and its weaponization against its own citizens. Now that we know their plan, we can alert voters to this danger.
There you go.
That was pretty serious.
Breathtaking, isn't it?
Jeez.
Wow.
Scary.
I wanted you to cue up cut 24.
Okay.
And if you think, you know, that warning is a soft sell.
Well, I didn't think that, but yeah.
This was something that Donald Trump's former Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, said about Trump.
Yeah.
Let's check it out.
Okay. He's going to finally give a direct order to deploy paratroopers into the streets of Washington, D.C., and I'm thinking with weapons and bayonets. And this would be horrible.
What specifically was he suggesting that the U.S. military should do to these protesters?
He says, can't you just shoot them? Just shoot them in the legs or something.
Yeah.
And he's suggesting that that's what we should do, that we should bring in the troops and shoot the protesters.
The commander-in-chief was suggesting that the U.S. military shoot protesters.
Yes, in the streets
American
of our
protesters.
Nation's capital. That's right.
Secretary of Defense Mark Esper, former. So that's just kind of a preview. I mean, this is how he values the First Amendment and addressing your government out in the streets. Protesters, shoot them in the legs because, you know, we don't have any major arteries in them.
No.
You know, bleed out. Oh, man, I'll tell you.
You know, it's amazing how many former cabinet officials and, you know, people that worked closely with Trump. Almost
warning everybody.
Everybody,
don't do this. Don't
everybody
vote
that
for this
worked
guy.
With, yeah, don't vote for him. Don't support him.
Yeah.
And are people listening to that? Republicans listening to that? I don't know.
I noticed that there was this poll, and this says it all. I think if you look at this, the people disagree with the radical Supreme Court by a wide margin. This is a poll about the Supreme Court, and get this. Should U.S. presidents have immunity from prosecution for actions taken as president? In this poll, 70% said no, he should not have immunity. 70%. 30% said yes. And the thing I want to point out here is it always seems like it's that 27 to 33%.
Right.
Is always on point when it comes to backing Trump.
Right.
And
it's
this
always
is that. This is the MAGA. This is the part of society, the voting society, I believe.
Yeah.
30% on average.
Solidly.
Solidly.
Right.
Every
behind
time
it.
They're there.
Yep. And that's enough, just enough to keep the whole thing going.
Right. Yeah. And that
for
also
the MAGAs.
Says that these individuals are the minority.
Right.
And they are. And in the process of trying to control the agenda of the United States.
For everybody.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I thought this was kind of an interesting thought the other day I had. You know, the election, of course, you know, the Democrats have always gotten the popular vote.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
Wouldn't it be interesting if it were the other way around this time around? Trump got the popular vote,
but he didn't win. The electoral vote?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be?
Yep.
I would love that. I would just love that.
Well, we're still
four months away
from the election. Of course, the convention's just around the corner.
That's right. In
Milwaukee. And we'll have civic media coverage of that in both conventions.
That's right. That's right.
All the way through the process.
You know, if they just had gotten a hold of us for a President Biden interview. Oh, the things
they
I would ask.
They should have called
them.
The John and Gordy Show.
They might
I mean,
didn't.
Why,
they,
you know,
right?
Why?
Just because it's not statewide.
We'd
we're in the capital
yeah,
city.
Yeah, but we could have figured it out. You know,
the heart of politics is right here,
right
in our state,
Madison.
Because the demographic of Dane County needs convincing.
Okay, thanks,
Sam.
You don't
Sam. Really
don't,
need
don't,
to bring
don't,
it.
Don't
bring
point
that
out. Oh well. Okay.
And the thing here is, too, that It's an amazing, I just want to point this out.
Yeah.
That when you do have an interview with somebody as important as the president, they're going to send out a press release to you as the interviewer, and they're going to give you suggested questions that you should ask.
Happens all the time.
It happens all the time. This is standard operating procedure for everybody who interviews somebody very, very important. You get those questions supplied to you. You don't have to ask them. You know? I mean, it's an option, and if you do, so what? You know, they're highly topical. But there seems to be some anger that this was done like it was a surprise. It's not a surprise. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for this Monday edition of the John and Gordy Show. We will be back bright and early tomorrow morning, 6 a.m.
Yes.
Thanks, John. We'll talk to you then. Have a great day.
I have a lot more to say, but
okay, bye.